Before I begin the homily, I'd like to say to welcome the St. Thomas Aquinas community who are taking the various ministries within the Mass, both the readers, the prayers of the faithful, the procession of the gifts. Deacon Aidan Murphy, who is from the Lakeshore, from Curtis Parish, but is the chaplain at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. I know I saw Mr. Wynn coming in, our principal, up at St. Thomas Aquinas, and many of the other staff and students. It's always good to be able to promote a closer relationship between one of the three pillars of our Catholic faith, our homes, the parish church, and our schools as well. And if you come to this church frequently or infrequently, or if it's even your first time, you can't help but be struck by how many images we have of our Blessed Mother in this church. We have all kinds of images, statues, paintings, murals, stained glass, and symbols as well. And here we come in this month of October that's dedicated to one of the great titles of Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary. You've heard me preach before, those of you who are parishioners, about our beautiful rosary window, up the second window on the side there, where Our Lady is seen giving St. Dominic the gift of the Most Holy Rosary. But I'd like to emphasize a couple other things as well, because here we are talking about faith. And what are we called to do with faith? Faith is not just something that is just handed on to us and just sort of haphazardly grows like a weed. That's not it. Faith is something that must be tended. It's something that hopefully was given to us by our parents, grandparents, by others. Something that is handed on like a torch, like a candle. When at baptism a child is, after that child is baptized, the godfather takes the candle, takes it up to that big candle there, the Easter or Paschal candle, lights it, right? And then all four of the parents and godparents, or if you're Filipino, all 14 of the parents and godparents, touch the candle. And we say, dear parents and godparents, this light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. For this child of yours has become a child of faith and has been enlightened by that faith. Now keep that flame of faith strong in her heart. That's an important thing to remember. To keep something strong means that we work on it. And one of the ways we work on faith is by prayer. There are many kinds of prayer, but the one I'd like to look at this evening is that great prayer of faith, that great prayer of the rosary that was given to us. Why do we have the rosary anyway? We are given the rosary because it's meant to be a prayer regardless of your ages and stages in life. In my family, I can remember saying the rosary. I'm not sure what we were saying. That's how early we began, as far as I was concerned, in saying the rosary. And sometimes we rebelled against it. We used to call it hitting the decks right after supper. And sometimes I liked it. We used to say the rosary in the car. I think Dad did that partially for sanity. But we also did it because it was a way to be able to recognize that it was part and parcel of our life. When I went off to university, my father gave me a handshake, and he gave me his own rosary. And he said, pray this every day. And I did. And I still have it, too fragile to use now, but I still have it. By an interesting turn of twist of fate, I was given my grandfather's rosary, his own father. And it's a well-worn rosary. It really is. I can remember my father saying the rosary on the tractor using a rosary ring. And I have that old bent rosary ring, and I'm glad it's old and bent because it shows it's been used. On my parents' tombstone, there was a rosary put there in the stone itself by the express wish of my mother, because she used to collect rosaries and say the rosaries. And she said, whether you're a child, or whether you're older, whether you're together, whether you're individual, whether you're alone, we can all say this because it is a bond that holds us together in prayer. In this church, we see that. In this church, we have the rosary again and again shown to us, and perhaps you don't see it because you've looked at it so often. Not just in that window, but back in the second window from the back, which is the window of Our Lady of Fatima, where she's instructing the children in saying the rosary. Up here on the side, when you come up for communion, you can be able to see this altar where Our Lady appeared to St. Bernadette Subaru as a young girl of 15 in the grotto of Massalbiel in Lourdes in France, and she instructed her in the rosary as well. But one of the more interesting ways is that up above my heads on both sides here, over top of the alcoves or the shrines, we have on the one side where Our Lady is showing forth the child Jesus. And she's showing forth the child Jesus, and the angels have come to her with gifts. But they're interesting gifts. They're gifts that are symbolic of the rosary, and of then, of the mysteries of the rosary, of the joyful, of the sorrowful, and the glorious. When we see the crown of thorns for the sorrowful, we see the crown for the glorious, and the lilies for the joyful mysteries. And up here, we celebrate another mystery of the rosary, the crowning of Our Lady as Queen of Heaven. But probably one of the more interesting ones is right there in front. How many hundreds, thousands of times have you seen the statue right there in the altar, of the high altar? And that's, we think, Our Lady of Victory. Because it isn't just a matter that she's holding the child Jesus, but she celebrates a victory. Way back in 1571, when all of Christian Europe was being threatened by the Islamic hordes with the Turks, a great victory was won at the Battle of Lepanto. And at the morning of that victory, the Pope at the time, Pope Pius, dedicated the entire world to Our Lady of the Rosary and instructed all believers to pray the Rosary, and the victory was won. He dedicated that day, October 7th, to Our Lady of Victory. And from then on, we ourselves are called to remember that as dark as it looks, just as we heard Carson read in that first reading, as dark as it looks, we are called to be people of faith and people of prayer, to recognize that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Maybe your life is dark. Maybe your life is difficult. Or maybe your life is glorious and joyful. Maybe your life is luminous by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ. But whatever it is, we are called to be able to delve into those mysteries in prayer and to be able to reflect and meditate upon them so that our faith can grow. Yes, faith can be tested. There's nobody out there where your faith hasn't been tested. Isn't that true? Faith can be tested in the small but definite ways. Maybe you're busy with little kids and it's busy. Maybe it's tested because of financial or social or medical problems. Maybe you're concerned about other people for whom you care deeply and you don't see any way out for them. Or maybe, because life is joyful too, you can rejoice in the many good things. We're coming up to the week of Thanksgiving. But in all of these things, they are bound together and intertwined in prayer. And we see that even in the physical aspect of using the rosary to constantly remind us to be people of prayer. In that statue, have you ever wondered how Our Lady is holding forth her hand? When I asked one of the priests who'd served here a number of years ago, Father Neil Roy, about it, he said, you know, I'm positive that's a statue of Our Lady of Victory where she held the rod of authority, eh? The rod of authority given to her, as we are called to even believe at the Annunciation. Because it's an authority given to her from the love of her Son to be able to say, I can bring you to the fullness of God's grace and the fullness of the presence of Jesus Christ. Join me in this great prayer. In this great prayer that allows us then to be able to recognize that together we raise up our voices, we raise up our hearts, and we present them to the Lord. And in the end, this is what we have done, only what we have ought to have done. So for ourselves, it's a good thing to remember that in prayer. And I would urge you in this month, but in any month and at any time, to be able to start, to begin, to continue that great gift of prayer within the rosary. Somebody said to me one time, oh, I used to have faith, but I guess I lost it along the way. And I said, you know what? You can also find it along the way. We're all going along the way. We're all going along in a journey. And we're called to go along that journey and to remember that God gives us whatever we need to be able to deepen and to grow in faith. Regardless where your faith is now, you are here now. And that's a good thing. And it means that your heart and your actions can be such that we can be able to discover yet again the gifts and the graces given to us. And those gifts and graces are given to us in any form, in many forms of prayer. But isn't it important for us to remember that all of our history in this church and in this parish, untold numbers of people and generations have held fast to that same definite thread of prayer, which is the rosary. I could give you the dates that these various things were painted and done, installed, etc. The dates aren't important, but they link us to that continual family of faith, and that family of faith of which we are part even now, in which we are going to be able to hand on to the people around us. is such that it can be bound and supported by that great gift of the rosary and that great gift of prayer. Open yourself to that gift. Avail yourself of it. Use it and use it well, regardless of how often one is called to say it. But say it together with the whole church so that we can recognize that we are a family of faith, a family of prayer, a family of the certainty of the presence of God.